This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Market House has the cleanest, leanest, juiciest meat and seafood shipped to your home overnight. Expect the service of a local butcher and the convenience of a large supplier. Unlike many online butchers, you can grab just one meal's worth or lock in for a subscription box. Choose from grass-fed and grass-finished beef, American Wagyu, free-range poultry, grass-fed lamb, wild-caught king crab, seafood, and more.
For 15% off your first order, use code COUNTRY at checkout. Just visit markethouse.com.
That's markethouse.com. And use the code COUNTRY.
Welcome to This Country Life. I'm your host, Brent Reeves. From coon hunting to trot lining and just general country living, I want you to stay a while as I share my stories and country skills that'll help you beat the system. This Country Life is proudly presented as part of Meat Eaters Podcast Network, bringing you the best outdoor podcasts the airways have to offer. All right, friends, pull you up a chair or drop that tailgate. I think I got a thing or two to teach you. Dog stories. Nothing will pull at your heartstrings, make you laugh, aggravate you, or make you proud quicker than your dog. Since the first wolf slipped up to the fire and didn't try to eat the folks that was camped there eons ago, to this morning when I walked outside to feed old Waylon, dogs have been our faithful companions that love us unconditionally, even when we don't deserve it. It's all about our hunting buddies this week, the four-legged ones, on Meat Eaters This Country Life podcast. But first, I'm going to tell you a story. My dad was a very well-known wolf hunter, and yet he had never actually seen a wolf in his life. It's just what folks in South Arkansas called coyote hunting, and the hunting part was all about whose dog was leading the pack. The object was not to kill the coyote, but to run him. And I guess I need to put this in context for all the coyote lovers out there, if there are any, which I doubt there are. And if you're listening to this of your own free will and not being forced under some kind of government-sponsored enhanced interrogation technique, if that's the case, you might as well go ahead and fess up, because this ain't going to get no better. But running a coyote just means your hounds are trailing the scent of where the coyote has been. Just like a coon hound trailing and barking after a coon that's been walking down the edge of a creek and follows his scent trail to whatever tree he eventually climbs, my dad's running dogs were just smelling and barking on the trail of the coyote. They may never get close enough to even hear him trotting through the woods, and the coyote may slap get away from them by zigging when the dogs are zagging. I don't need any hate mail from the folks picturing Wile E. Coyote running through the desert with his ribs showing and his tongue hanging out. That ain't how it works. As evidence, I'll offer Exhibit A, the Red Man Coyote story. I was just a youngin', and my dad and I were standing on a timber company road that ran north and south one evening in the fall of the year. It was about 15 minutes before dark, and we'd just cut the dogs loose, about six of them, out to the west of the road. One of his dogs had struck the scent of a coyote from the back of the truck while we were driving. That's not unusual for a good dog to do that, but this dog was exceptional at it. He was a bona fide, straight-up, running walker foxhound. Now, y'all gonna think I'm messing with you, bringing the word fox into a story about coyote hunting that we call wolf hunting that ain't actually hunting. But this is where I'm from, and we're pretty much making up the rules as we go along. Anyway, it was the time of day when headlights were no good, but the light from the sun wasn't much better. But you could still see in the open, but out in the woods, it was dark. And like I said, the dog, Old Red Man, started barking in the back of the truck, and we were going down the road, so when we stopped, Dad said, dump them all. So I let the tailgate drop, and those hounds poured out of there like tea out of a pitcher. Red Man was leading the pack, and they headed due west, straight away from us, with all of them barking every breath. Dad said, Old Red Man's got him, and the rest of them are going to put it on him. The dogs were sure enough sanding the rails and moving directly away from us just as fast as they could go. Every one of them bawling and barking as loud and fast as they could. Now less than 2 or 3 minutes and they were getting a pretty good ways out there. But boy, it sounded good. We were smiling at each other, listening to the race, me trying to guess which dog was which and Dad telling me if I was guessing right. They'd gone about as far as we could hear them when something caught my eye about 200 yards away, and I looked down the road. It was a straight section of road that you couldn't see either end of from where we were standing. I said, Dad, look yonder. The coyote just walked out in the road. I was standing at the right front fender of the truck, and Dad was standing right beside me. He said, where? I told him, right there in the road. He's coming this way. He still didn't see him. Dad, right there, he's coming straight to us. Son, I don't see him. I thought maybe he'd gone blind because he was standing so close to me that I could feel him behind me. Dad, he's right there. I could hear his feet clicking on the gravel and pointed at the coyote that was now less than 50 yards from us. He was just trotting toward us in the right-hand rut of that road like he's riding a bicycle. Dad said, that's that young dog that we turned loose. I didn't say a word. That was a coyote, and I know I didn't turn one of those loose. Well, as he got closer, the coyote was passing by us, literally within arm's reach. Dad reached out, put his hand on my chest, and mashed me up against the truck and kicked at that coyote to move him on down the road. He never changed gears. We were laughing, high-fiving, and retelling each other that story that we'd both just witnessed. It was incredible. While all that was happening, that pack of wolfhounds that we thought were burning the hair off a coyote started getting a little louder and looping around to the south. It took them about 20 minutes, but they came out on the road right where I saw the coyote come out and were kicking rocks as high as a six-rail fence when they passed us hot on his trail. Hot on his trail, yeah, right. That race lasted about 3 hours before he finally gave the dogs the slip, and we caught them all not far from where we turned them loose. Man, that was a fun night. And we got to see something and share something pretty cool that we both talked about for the rest of his days. And that's just how that happened. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited additional offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. I never go to a concert without mine, and it was all they could do to keep me off the stage. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but there's one product that stood the test of time, Seafoam Motor Treatment. Now, lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. It's really simple. When you pour it in your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it clean your fuel system. You probably know someone who's used a can of Seafoam to get your truck or boat going. You do know someone. Me. I've been using it for years. Really. People everywhere rely on Seafoam to keep their trucks, boats, and small engines running the way they should the entire season. Help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.
You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land? Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
I never get tired of hearing dog stories, and I never get tired of telling them. I come from a long line of folks that use dogs to put food on the table. We're dog people. And there has never been a time in my life that I didn't have a quality hunting dog of some flavor, whether it was a duck dog, a squirrel dog, or a coon dog. Obviously, my dad, my Uncle Jimmy Ray, and my brother Tim, it was just something that we did. Any of us could have opted out at any point, but why in the world would we have wanted to? There's nothing outside of my family that equals the joy and satisfaction I get from hunting a well-trained dog. Especially one that I trained or had a hand in training. I know there's folks that don't have the time or the ability to do the training themselves and love the companionship and the thrill of the hunt just like the folks that train their dog. There's just a little extra bump on the proud meter when you're the one helping your dog see the light and the purpose for his being. It strengthens the bond between you even more because you have both figured out that you can trust each other. You show him what you want done and how you want it done, and the dog trusts you to praise him when he does it the way you've taught him. Tim and I were duck hunting in Biomeda with some clients many years ago, back when you could commercially hunt there, and my black lab Anna was our retriever. Anyone that had the good fortune to hunt with this dog would tell you that she was something special. I was reminded of this story by hearing my friend and Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame member Jim Ronquist talking about a similar thing that happened to him with one of his labs. Jim is a world champion competition duck caller, but better than that, he's a heck of an outdoorsman. And beyond all that, he's just a dang good fella. And when he told this story, it reminded me of this one. We were having a good hunt with good groups of ducks working into the hole we were hunting. We'd boated in before daylight. We found a likely spot that we'd hunted before, and with the forecasted wind, and when shooting time came, so did the ducks. We were smashing them pretty good, which is my favorite way to do it. Get the hunters in some ducks, let them shoot their limits fast, and get back to the camp to fix dinner. Watch a little football, take a nap, whatever. It was setting up to be an easy day. We were just four ducks short of a six-man limit, and Tim and I had our limits, and the four clients, they lacked one duck each. So Tim and I were done shooting. We were just calling, working the ducks, and I was handling Anna. Now, these boys were not the best shots, but the ducks were working in the decoys so good that they were really having to work hard not to hit them when they came in the hole. Those last few ducks always seemed to be the biggest struggle. I added the pressure of strongly encouraging them to shoot only greenheads, which was supposed to make them take their time and shoot what they recognized as being a Drake Mallard. Now, there was two reasons for this. The most important was conservation. By not shooting hens, we were returning mama ducks to the nesting grounds to raise more babies next year. The second reason was to make our clients pay attention and focus on one particular duck to shoot, instead of getting all amped up when 50 or more ducks dropped in through the timber and were hovering over the decoys, landing literally all around them. I've seen them run their shotguns to the plug, aiming at nothing in particular, and hitting the same. But the quicker they got their limit, the quicker we got out of there letting the ducks rest, and me and Tim rest too. We counted and recounted ducks. Yep, four ducks short of a six-man limit, and the mid-morning lull of no ducks flying had just begun. Now we wait. It's getting close to 10 o'clock and I'm hungry, and we could have been done 2 hours ago if these clowns could shoot. Anna sat beside me on her dog stand, her eyes ever more on the watch for ducks. She'd retrieved every duck that morning that we killed except for two or three that fell so close to where we were standing that we just picked them up and hung them on the stringer. None of them fell further than 40 yards, and she made quick work of them in that knee-deep water. I saw Anna jerk her head and start tracking toward the sky, and a moment later, Tim started calling. I looked over at him, and I saw where he was looking, and they were both laser-focused on six ducks as they passed overhead. I could easily see that group had four drakes and two hens. All right, boys, shoot the drakes, I told them. Me and Tim went to work on the calling those ducks in, kicking water to put some movement in the decoys, and when the ducks were facing away from us, and standing dead still when they passed over the hole, checking out whether or not it was safe to come in. Now, I'm telling the clients where they are the whole time. They're behind us at 6 o'clock. They're getting lower. Y'all be still. Circling around to the west. 3 o'clock. Y'all get ready. 12 o'clock. Here they come. Go to work, boys. Well, they commenced the shooting, and three drakes fell as dead as a duck could die. Belly up in the decoys and a couple of them paddling at the air with their little orange feet. The two hens climbed out of there like they were headed to the moon. I recounted the ducks floating in the water. How many did we get? Tim said all the drakes fell, but I only saw three. The hunters were hooping and hollering for getting their limit, but I couldn't find the last duck. I looked at Anna, and she was stone cold froze on her seat, stared out to the right of the hole, and that's when Tim said, "Yonder goes a cripple." He pointed in the direction Anna was looking. I knew then she'd seen it, and I sent her off on a straight line in the direction she was looking. She left that stand like it was on fire and was bounding through the water like she was on a rail in a perfect line cast in the direction I sent her. A couple of the hunters that were standing close to me got my attention away from her by slapping me on the back and shouting how cool that was and how much fun they'd had. They were already getting their cameras out. Now, that'll give you a clue as how long ago it happened. They brought cameras, not phones. I turned back toward Anna, and the ripples that she'd made in the water were all about gone. I told them to be quiet and listen, and they didn't. They were still all excited, and understandably so. After the second time I told them to be quiet, I got rude, and I said, "Hey, y'all shut up. I don't know where my dog is." Well, I couldn't hear a thing. No crashing through the water like I'd heard when she left. I walked out toward the direction that she went, but the film that covered the surface of the water had closed back together, and the sunken leaves that had kept her from leaving a mud trail. I called her, and nothing. I whistled, and nothing. She was a well-trained professional duck dog. It wasn't like she was just a Labrador and looked the part. No, sir. She was the real deal. I whistled again, trying to blow the pee out of that Roy Gonya dog whistle, and nothing. Boats were starting to come down the bayou and out of the woods, so the noise they made was drowning out any hopes of hearing her in the water. 20 minutes went by. Tim and the other hunters had everything loaded in the boats. I'd made a big loop out in the flooded timber looking and calling for Anna, and nothing. I walked back to where they were, and we started making plans of how we were going to all split up and start looking for her. I had no idea how I was going to explain this to my kids. they loved her more than they loved me. I was sick to my stomach, and I hated the fact that I'd even brought her. I heard a racket in the absolute opposite direction from which she'd left on that retrieve, and I saw a flash of gray about as far as you could see down through the woods. We all froze. As it got closer, I could see that it was the top side of a mallard drake's wing, and it was sticking straight up in the air, moving through the flooded timber like a shark's fin on top of a pinball, bumping into bushes and ricocheting off trees. Anna had a locked-down grip on that crippled duck, and when she caught him, his wing folded over her eyes. She was slowly but surely making her way back to me with that duck in her mouth, unable to see a frazzling thing. I met her halfway and took that duck from her. Whew, man, I was glad to see that dog. I was worried to death, but she wasn't. She was doing her job and loving every minute of it. We walked back to the hole, and when we got there, she hopped up on her stand, ready to go again. I was needing a cigarette, and I didn't even smoke. It's times like these that stick in your head forever. I can show you right where we were hunting. The tree I was standing beside, the tree Tim was standing beside, or at least where the stumps are now. And I remember the great sense of relief I felt when I saw her coming back with that duck in her mouth. Man, it's a bond you build through living life together, not just hunting. The ups and the downs, the successes and the near failures, watching your kids play with a dog in the yard. Y'all have heard me talk about Peanut, the world's greatest squirrel dog that was my hairy little brother and my father's favorite son. He would play chase with us and hide and seek. I remember one time we were all chasing him, and he took off behind the house with us in tow. He circled around and was heading back toward the front yard, so some of us doubled back to catch him and cut him off when he rounded the other end of the house, while some of us continued to follow him. We met each other in the front yard, but there was no Peanut. Where'd he go? We only lost sight of him for a second or two, but apparently that's all he needed to disappear. We called him and looked all around the house, going back and forth, but we couldn't find him. Then someone looked up, and he was sitting on the roof of the house just looking at us. And if a dog could smile, that rascal was smiling big. My dad's truck was parked at the edge of the carport, and the tailgate was down. Peanut jumped up on the tailgate, onto the toolbox behind the cab, then on top of the cab, then onto the roof, and I suppose was just sitting there watching us running around the yard looking for him. A dog's life mirrors my own in some degree, I have to say. I like to have fun. I like to be around the folks that I love. I get excited at meal times. I like to take naps. I like to hunt every chance I get and go with someone that I care about and share it with them. Did I mention naps? Kids and dogs go together like biscuits and gravy. Kids and grown folks, too, can learn a lot about loyalty, friendship, and unconditional love just by having a good dog. I read a quote that said, having a dog will bless you with many of the happiest days of your life and one of the worst. Well, that's true. And when they leave us, man, it's hard and it's sad. But I look back at the memories and the stories I have about Anna and Peanut and a whole host of others, and it doesn't make me sad. When someone asks about a dog and I don't tell them how they died, talk about how they lived and all the adventures or the funny things that we shared. Just last Saturday, I was sitting in my truck waiting on daylight so I could hit the woods and go squirrel hunting. I was catching up on my messages, and I read one from a guy up in the Appalachian Mountains who had recently lost one of his turkey dogs. That's right, I said turkey dogs. I remember reading an article about turkey dogs when I was a kid in some hunting magazine, and more recently, Dr. Seth Bynum wrote a good one that you can read at themeateater.com entitled, How to Hunt Turkeys with a Dog. Now, the point of me bringing either one of those subjects up is you can train a dog to hunt anything. And if you put in a little effort, you can find folks that'll help you get it done. Or if you can't, they'll do it for you. But back to the fellow that lost his dog. While I was reading his message, I was immediately back hunting with Peanut and Anna, both of which have been gone now for years. Peanut when I was just a kid and Anna 10 years ago. But I wasn't sad. It made me happy thinking about them. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't get a little wistful thinking about both of them, but how much would I be missing today if they hadn't been in my life? Some would say nothing, because you can't miss what you never had, but I look at the pictures that that man sent me, and I can see myself and him sitting in camo with his dog and their turkey. Both of them looking proud to be in each other's company, the hunter looking at the camera, and the dog looking at him. That paints a bigger picture, and one that pretty well describes the true relationship between hunters and hunting dogs. I thank you so much for listening, and I appreciate y'all sharing this podcast. I'd like to say a special hello to Miss Michelle Baldwin's English class at Cherokee High School in Cherokee, Oklahoma. Man, that's almost smack dab in the middle of the U.S. of A. And if anyone knows the country life and how good it is, it's the great folks in Cherokee. This is Brent Reeves, signing off. Y'all be careful. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Market House has the cleanest, leanest, juiciest meat and seafood shipped to your home overnight. Expect the service of a local butcher and the convenience of a large supplier. Unlike many online butchers, you can grab just one meal's worth or lock in for a subscription box. Choose from grass-fed and grass-finished beef, American Wagyu, free-range poultry, grass-fed lamb, wild-caught king crab, seafood, and more.
For 15% off your first order, use code COUNTRY at checkout. Just visit markethouse.com.
That's MarketHouse.com. And use the code COUNTRY.